You're listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
All right, so we're back. We're just enjoying.
We're reminiscing about must-see TV.
Must-see TV. Welcome to Thursday night's new must-see TV Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis, and we are broadcasting in beautiful downtown Ventura, and on the Buzz Radio, what network? I suppose we could call it the network, the Buzz Radio Network. And sorry, we're a couple minutes late, but you know, if you're watching on Ustream right now, you can see we've got a table full of. Booze, and so it took a while for us to get this organized, and then we had to worry about getting microphones set in, and so the booze first, microphone second, and it seems like we're all kind of going in the right direction right now. So welcome back, Joby. It's good to see you.
Hey, you too. It's really quiet today without a big concert going on.
Right. Yeah. So there's
kinda nobody. Miss everybody.
Nobody walking by. Although this is the first time that we've actually walked to the studios. And it's been light out. So this daylight savings time, I think I've finally acclimated to it. I don't know about you. It took like a week and a half for this old fart to get to that point. But I'm like, oh, is it 5 o'clock already in the morning? What's going on? I don't understand it. But
it's basically just extra drinking time, which is fine.
No, yeah. I know. This is great. It's going to take a little bit for me to – oh, no, it's not going to take any time for me to get used to that.
Unless you're one of those people who's like, I can't drink till it's dark out, then you're screwed. But –
no, I've never been that.
I wasn't saying you, but just in general, if you are one of those people, it's like, oh, I can't drink when it's daylight out.
That's right. So if you're watching us on Ustream, you can see our special bartender guest here sitting in the middle, Scott. So we'll be going back and forth between him and say hello. So
hello, how are you doing tonight?
Right. So right before we went on, and we were working on our radio voices, and in our evening radio voices, and I don't know if Scott's going to be able to hold it together in order to do. A radio voice.
No,
yeah.
I'm Barry Whited out. Sorry.
It's the bloody it's the Bloody Mary show.
We wanted to do that morning zoo voice, but it's a little late in the.
Right, it's way too much energy for me.
But maybe after all this vitamin B12 we're about to have, we're probably gonna like alcohol and B12 is a good combo.
It is a good combo. So, if you're listening to us on my Buzz Radio feed right now, you can also see us watch the antics behind the scenes on our Ustream feed, and you can watch that on our Facebook page, Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. If you're not a Facebook user, I don't know what you're doing.
I don't think any of us are an actual Facebook page.
Unless you're still on MySpace.
I can think of two or three people in my life that aren't using Facebook. So if you're not using Facebook, go to hopedsed.com, click the Happy Hour logo, and you'll see the live feed button, or the live feed link, so you can watch us over there.
Yeah, we're actually behind because we're supposed to be on Instagram.
Oh,
that's what Scott says. Instagram is the new.
That's the new thing.
Facebook is done. It's Instagram now.
Well, Facebook owns Instagram.
Well, that's true, but.
So they're kind of morphing. Yeah, I don't know.
You're not on Instagram, okay. Curtis.
That's for photographs.
No, because I want credit for my photos. I just don't want them like spread throughout the internet sphere with somebody saying, "Hey, man, this is my photo." But I guess I could do that anyway. I don't know. So
you can technically, but check your metadata.
Turning into an internet show.
Welcome to Happy Hour with metadata.
Photography with you guys might have another show coming up.
That's right. So also on the Facebook page, there is a little status post that says, I'm watching Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis right effing now. So you go to it, you share it. And I'm going to go look through all the shares after the show, and then I'm going to pick somebody from random in that whole list. And I've got a badass Festival Barrel House t-shirt.
Yeah.
All right, so they were in a couple weeks ago, a month
good
ago
stuff.
Or so, and we've got this great t-shirt that's just waiting for someone to wear it. So it could be you, but you've got to share the status and phone calls tonight. Because you know what? If we weren't... We've got a special guest mixing us Bloody Marys. If you've got a Bloody Mary recipe, Or if, as we're talking through Bloody Mary recipes and you go, wait a second, if you put a slice of bacon in that thing, that would be badass.
Yeah. Then special ingredient.
That's what I'm talking about. So special ingredients, and that phone number is 805-744-1900. And I think that's all my housekeeping stuff right there.
That's good. Well,
what are you looking at over there?
I'm just looking at cans. I was going to ask you what your opinion is on canned beers.
I love it. Number one. And number two, when you're going camping, that's the best way to drink a beer is right out of a can. And if it can taste good on top of it, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, well, it doesn't taste metallic like it used to. That's at least that's the proclamation. Like, hey, we had these new liners and it doesn't taste, you don't get that metallic taste anymore. So it's good. Yeah, if you're on a boat, if you're at the lake, whatever it is, you don't have to worry about lugging bottles around. I think it's good. It seems like more and more breweries are doing it every month somebody is going to canning. But I don't know if people are embracing it.
Well, I actually had my first IPA in a can from 21st Amendment.
Brew free or
probably
dry.
A week. Yeah, exactly. Yes, a week or two ago. Okay. And I was confused at first on the flavor. But then it settled in, a six-pack in.
Right.
Has a slight metallic tinge.
Yes, it did a little bit, but.
See, I don't get it. I don't get that taste. I don't get. Some people claim that they can taste a metallic or an oxidation because it's such a big surface area when they fill the can up.
Right.
But I don't get it. And I guess I'm happy that I can't taste that. My favorite one right now is Dale's Pale Ale.
Dale's Pale Ale, yeah.
And going camping, whatever it is.
Constantly asked for in the bar.
Don't they have a bigger can?
So then that's the Deviant Dale, which not only is it the Dale's Pale Ale, but it's like the Imperial version. So you're talking 8.5%.
And it's in a bigger can?
And it's in like the tall boy. So whatever that is, a 16-ounce can.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it only comes in four packs, and that four packs is like $15. But you only need one of those beers and you're sitting fine.
So, or two.
Or two. So I was up at last summer, I went on a camping trip to Sequoia, and in their little area, and I'm trying to think of what they had, Mammoth Brewing maybe, but they've got a bunch of beers in a can. So we had their Pilsner and their IPA and everything. You just bring it back to the campsite, you're good, and then when you're done, you end up throwing it in the bear safe
receptacle,
there we go, and it's all good. But you're looking at a can right there.
Is Founders, that which we don't get out here, no, obviously. But yeah, Founder. But I was also noticing like Sierra Nevada and some of these guys, and they have like 12 packs, which is really cool, because then at least you have 12 of your delicious beers.
They're pale,
with you. Yep, pale ale, and I think Torpedo, even I think, saw in a 12-pack.
Torpedo is, yeah, but that's in a tall boy can. Now, I don't know if it's a little skinnier or not, so it might still be 12 ounces, but it's in a good-sized can, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully things like, I don't know, golf courses and lakes or wherever they sell only canned beer, hopefully they'll start embracing it and offering
some crafts.
Some craft beer.
Definitely, because I'm sick of Olympia when I'm...
At least on the golf Olympia course.
Right. I don't know. Is that even
do they have
beer?
No.
I don't know.
That's a northern.
I don't know.
That's a Washington beer, right?
Yes, definitely.
Olympia, Washington.
All about the water.
Are you two following March Madness at all?
Trying to. I don't own cable at my house.
It's definitely
so therefore...
on at the bar for sure. So,
so you two probably keep track of it. March Madness happens to be the worst time of year for me, and I may be the only person in the whole world that hates March Madness.
Wow.
But I can't. I don't care about college basketball. Who gives? Whatever. But the only upside to all of this is the beer brackets, and so to pull even me, me into it, who doesn't like it. There's all kinds of beer brackets, and if you go to draftmagazine.com, they've got a beer bracket. So just do a Google search for draftmagazine.com.
So are you actually competing against people?
So if
or is it the beer that's competing?
Well, the beer's competing against.
You're picking who's going to be the best.
However, you are picking whoever wins that. So whoever wins the end bracket. So of all those people who win it, they end up getting. I can't even remember, a new draft system, something
so
like
you
that.
Okay, so you can win.
Right. So as
that's
you go
really
through
cool.
it, so all the anyone who picks the winning team or the winning beer, brewery, actually it is the beer, the winning beer, whoever wins the winning, picks the winning beer, they get a fancy prize, and then the brewery that wins, they end up getting $1,000 to give to their favorite charity.
So right now, what are they on? You were filling out yours earlier, right?
Right. So I was looking
are
for
on
it.
The Sweet 16.
They are in the Sweet 16, and of the Sweet 16, I have 14 of my beers that have made it that far. So I don't.
Wow.
So I'm not doing too bad.
You know the beer then.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that's the thing. Like, I could care less about any of these basketball teams. I have no idea about their stats or the players or whatever. But you name any one of those breweries that are down the list, and I can tell you what the beers they are, and I can tell you, you know, give you a general idea of what those ABVs are just from tasting them throughout the years. But so it's one of those things where I don't choose to clutter my beer brain cells with basketball.
Yeah.
So okay. You're picking which beer you think is better than the other one, right? So you have, like, we were looking at earlier, there was like a funny one, right? There was like
a Monkey Fist
Shipyard Brewing against here they are. Okay.
Yeah. So we've got
like La Trappe Quad against Milk Stout Nitro.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with the Milk Stout. If you haven't had Left Hand Milk Stout,
I actually.
If you haven't had
those, are like two completely different.
Oh
beers.
No, they
that
are. They're absolutely
like
different.
Super sweet versus
right, right, yeah, and then
liquid breadfruit versus Three Philosophers.
Yeah, and it's going to be Three Philosophers on that one. Seriously, breadfruit.
This is. I know what Scott's going to pick on this one. Wookie Jack versus Stone Enjoy By.
Wow,
Wookie Jack has a chance to make it to the final.
I would
round of eight.
I would put money on that one, actually, not just...
Is it too late to get in? It's too late, right?
You know what? I think you can get in at this point. I think you still can. So you'd be able to get in and...
So wait, how many beers are actually in? They started with 64?
They start off with 64.
How are these 64 chosen?
There you go. That's a good question.
Right. Who knows? It's
probably put in a hat.
It's the draft beer magic.
Yeah.
So draft beer magazine magic.
Some of these are unfair, though, like Racer 5 versus Free Ride APA from Alaska, which is... It's a good pale ale, but Reason 5 is a great IPA.
Right. That one's going to have a tough time.
And Dead Guy versus Big Daddy IPA.
Yeah, those two are now. If it had been like the Double Dead Guy,
yeah, I was going to say I would definitely take the Double Dead Guy over the Big Daddy.
Dead Guy blew away Anchor Steam, and then Vanilla Porter. Big Daddy beat Vanilla Porter. Pretty cool stuff. I have to make sure I get on this next year.
I think you'll be. And actually, I think you can. Well, maybe you can't. Maybe that's what it is. And I've picked my. So when I logged in, it came up to my stuff already. The ones that I picked, and so I can take.
Actually,
a look
you can still get in. It says you can get in on round 3 and round 4 only. So yeah.
All right. So if you haven't done that,
so maybe I'll get in and beat you, Curtis, while you're already you're 14 out of 16.
Since you know, you've
only got 16 teams to choose from, so you should be able to do okay. So besides that, some big news in like local craft beer, especially LA, the LA Ale Works company. They made their goal on Kickstarter. So a couple weeks,
they even made their second goal, right?
And
they did
They did their push. I think they did two push. They met two push goals, and they ended up raising somewhere in the neighborhood of $38,000. And they
That's
were
really
shooting
cool.
for $30,000, I think, something like that. So some great new craft beer coming to town, and so people who are listeners to the show, stay tuned. In the next couple of weeks, we've got a great tulip glass with their logo on it that you're not going to get unless you donate it to their Kickstarter program.
That's it.
Yeah, it's they're done, not taking any more, and a great T-shirt. So those will be coming up in the next couple of weeks. But so some great news, especially since when they were on, they had just met their $25,000, and then they ended up raising another $13,000 after that show. So that's a great thing all the way around.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait till they open. Those guys, Festival Barrel House, so many good things coming up. It's gonna be cool.
Right, and it's always fun to.
And this is all out of Southern California.
Yeah,
Festival Beer House, Moore Park, and then LA Ale Works.
And technically, still local. I mean, if you think about what local
that's really means.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If Firestone Walker is local for us,
right.
Festival Barrel House certainly is. So, anyway, that's. Do you have something that you're pulling up over there that you want to?
No, I was just looking at something about the death of entry level beers and that. It was funny. We talked about that before too. It was like the return of these like regular beers, So nobody wants regular beer. They want crazy imperial. It's like, hey, what's that IPA? Oh, it's 65 IBUs and 7% alcohol. Weak. It's not an IPA. It's like, but yes, it is. And in, our palate, you know, our palates are getting like really skewed, and we want the stronger and stronger.
Looking 100 plus. So,
yeah, 100 IBUs and 10% alcohol. And those are fun, but you can't drink a lot of them. So, I mean, maybe you can, but you know.
Well, one or two of
them. One or two, but if you want to have, you know, a session.
Yeah.
Right. So just before we came over here, I ended up having a six and a
half. Somebody just popped a session.
Is that what it is?
They're probably drinking Bud Light in the back of the studio, which is sad because if that's what's going on. Right.
It could very well be. But like I had.
Coors Light. Coors Light. Tall Boy. There's no way affiliated with our show.
No, they're not. They just run the boards here. That's about it.
I ended up having the Abigail IPA, which was really nice. It was, what was the name of it? Glory or
the Glory and Death
or Glory. Death or Glory. And that was really nice at 7%. And that was, and I fall victim to this, what is an IPA too. I mean, that was a really, at any, right now I would have classified that if somebody had given it to me, I would have said that was a really nice pale ale.
Right.
But
even with the
right, but you know, looking at the specs on that, yeah, that was nowhere near pale ale strength and or hop like the hop bitterness unit. So that was really nice. It was a really nice beer to have. But then I ended up going to what the other two? There was the bourbon barrel one, which was like 10%.
Oh,
but
the Dominic Barrel Noir, yeah.
I finished up on that one, and then there was the spring beer from Hangar 24, which was a really nice, really light, easy drinking beer, and then
there that's even like New Belgium Hoppy Pop.
The Hoppy
Pop.
Well,
you were talking about the Alaskan Free Ride a little earlier, and that's like a hoppier style ale.
Oh yeah, and I think that's classified as a pale ale too. But that one was that had more perceived bitterness than the
Abigail.
Death or Glory one that I had tonight. So
right, but way less alcohol and way less IBUs, but just that perceived thing. So. It's interesting this notion of session ales and session beers and just session drinking period. It's like if you want to sit down for a while, a couple hours and drink, can you drink those 10% beers? You're probably not going to make it past the first or second hour.
No, and speaking of sessions here, we're going to be we're getting into
do our own session.
We're gonna lay a heavy session on here. With Bloody Marys. However, if you're watching on Ustream, you can see that we're mixing the full versions of these as we come when we come back from the break. So when we come back from the break, we'll kind of talk about what our mix is, and then we've got
Bloody Marys,
four or five different alcohols here. We're gonna mix them with some beer. And,
some of these sound really scary,
right? And
Captain Morgan.
Yeah, and, that's because I'm not a fan of Captain Morgan on its own. Let alone smothering it in a beautiful Bloody Mary mix,
and especially when
and you have the classy traveler pack,
and especially when that comes in a plastic bottle.
Nothing says classy.
So it'll be interesting, and when we come back from the break, and Scott's going to be mixing up for us. He's going to tell us what we've got going. We're going to talk about
everything Bloody Marys.
Everything Bloody Mary. I've got a little bit of history on the Bloody Mary, and
there we go. That's what we need. We need education.
Education.
There you go.
Just a spoiler alert, it has nothing to do with going into the bathroom, turning the lights off, and saying Bloody Mary three times in a row. It has nothing to do with that. So
that's too bad.
So if you were worried about phantoms visiting you tonight, you can rest easy, and we'll be okay. All right,
we'll be right back after the break.
And now back to the show.
There we are. I think we are. I can hear myself. We're
definitely back.
We've got some microphones on now, or microphones. Whatever.
We had those on before, but now they're headphones.
Headphones.
Yes, sir.
So when you put things on your ears, they're headphones.
Yes.
Not the microphones.
So you were just getting into the Bloody Marys are not. You're not going to call her in the bathroom. So. What is the history of Bloody Mary?
So, you know, this has to be true because it's Wikipedia.
Oh, Wikipedia.
So evidently the the recipe came in around the late 20s, mid 30s, and there's plausible kinds of origin stories, and one of them is that it was in this bar in Paris called the New York Bar in Paris, and so this was a popular place for expats like Ernest Hemingway and some other people, and
I feel like other drinks were invented in this bar. Is that
it could have easily been. So I mean, like, there's this one is with it gets the top billing on the plausibility, and then there's a couple other ones. One that's coming into couple of that are in the United States as well, but you know, mostly it's just somebody was mixing together vodka and tomato juice and as a breakfast drink, and they end up kind of taking it from there and making what we have, kind of what we're looking at here this evening here. And before we get going, I've got to tell everyone too that I'm not a Bloody Mary fan. I was really looking forward to this show because my wife has always told me that after I drink one, and she goes, "No, you just haven't had the right one yet." You know, as soon as you find it, and that's the same kind of line you get from beer people, and the same kind of line you get from wine people.
Right.
And so, I love the cult idea of this. I want to really be able to like this drink, and I just for some reason I haven't been able to get to it. So part of the reason,
Curtis, probably you don't like it is because. Some people don't put much effort into the Bloody Mary.
Absolutely.
And that is like, they kind of mail it in, you know, it's like, oh, tomato juice and some, or they buy a mix and the mixed stuff is terrible.
Right.
And the missing ingredient is the love it takes.
Right. Well, the reason Scott's here is because he loves Bloody Mary. So well,
I've had people too go, I make this, you've got to try it. You're going to love it. I make the best Bloody Mary. And then I try that thing and I just go, whoa, this is not what I was expecting. So this is the proprietary blend from Barrel House.
Yeah.
101. And I tell you what, I've had a couple of tastes of this and I haven't felt like throwing up. But just setting the bar that low and saying that that's what Bloody Marys make me do, and the fact that I really do, there's a lot about this that I like, that the tomato juice is cut back and the spices are low, and I think that's one of the things that people, when they say I've got this great Bloody Mary mix, they dump a potload of spices
overdo the ingredients. Yeah,
it's got to be just like anything, it's got to be balanced. Yeah. Right.
I mean, we like Dogfish Head 90 minute IPA because of the balance in malt and hops. So why isn't the same consideration taken when you're building a Bloody Mary or a mixed drink, period?
Yeah, so why don't we tell them what is in this, Scott? What's in our Bloody Mary mix?
Oh, well, our Bloody Mary mix is made with celery salt, black pepper, Worcestershire. We have Tabasco, a little bit of Sriracha. We also do lime juice. We do our Barrel House 101 IPA is also included. This particular one that we have in front of us right now is actually a blend of, we have a Clamato base in there, also with a tomato base.
And some horseradish, right?
And yes, definitely always horseradish included in our mix. That's basically a simple...
Yeah, it's like canvas.
Well, olive juice. There actually is a little bit of olive juice that is in there too.
It's like the canvas for... Scott was talking about you can tailor it to everybody. So, yeah. Curtis, if you said, you know, I like a little extra of this or, you know, accentuate the
well, like most people enjoy, an extra spice. Like, can I get an extra spicy Bloody Mary? So then we can tailor this base to their needs.
Well, I as I keep kind of going through this, there isn't any of that. When you're talking about a well-balanced kind of drink, this has that. It has the sweet tomato juice in it. There's a really nice spice afterwards that makes me want to go take another drink, which is always welcome in an alcoholic drink. You know, I can see that in a half hour or so that it's going to be hard to stand up after we have like four or five more of these. But really, this was what I was hoping for but this was going to be a drink that I couldn't do, this drink was essentially my kryptonite. Like, I really, really want to try this, like this, but I can't do it. And this one I could drink. I don't know if I could do a whole like pint glass of this, but, I'm excited, like this base mix. I'm excited to try all the rest of these as we're going through.
Yeah. And so, you know, Scott's shaking away the next one. The one we're having right now, we're doing with Absolut Vodka. And Scott was talking about earlier about he doesn't like to go too premium on his vodka when he's doing his Bloody Mary.
Well, yeah, because I feel like the vodka alone can stand on its own. So if you're going to be mixing it, you might as well be mixing a little bit cheaper version of it. And yeah, you're still getting the same effects and same flavors from the vodka.
And the mix is really what's kind of playing that.
So as you're saying that, and what did you just?
I'm not saying don't ever go anywhere and not buy a Bloody Mary that is made with Kettle or Absolut. Yeah, what I'm saying is you're gonna also enjoy it just as much as if you're drinking.
Right, and so
but you're
so
looking like at the table and there's premium liquor.
Yeah, so like the
table.
Stuff that I have here is the stuff that I've had for, I don't know, a year.
Well,
it's stuff
you personally
right,
carry,
right.
So
and
that's fine.
And I'm pulling it out of my
definitely. If you continue to buy Grey Goose or Belvedere and you keep that at your house and you make Bloody Marys with it, that's totally fine.
Okay.
I'm not against that if that's your flavor.
No, but if you're having a 15 people over for a brunch.
Oh yeah, you're gonna go get like your Nikolai or
Fleischmann.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever.
Hopefully Smirnoff, but if not.
Well, that's, at least if you're doing this on the home base.
So this was the Absolut one that we just had.
Which
here.
Is,
so
I think,
this was the regular.
Actually, Absolut Pepar is
a
like
really
that
good.
One. That's
that, because that adds an extra
little
spice to
like
it.
Pepper in there.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a nice little Pepar. You can't
and
say
then
it.
Pepar.
It's even, it's Pepar. You can't say it. Pepar. But so the first one we had is the traditional one, right? Is vodka. Some of the ones that are in front of us.
Our Bloody Mary mix.
Yep.
The next one is what I've known as a Red Snapper, which we're actually using another premium, which is Tanqueray gin, English dry.
Yep.
Really good gin on its own again, but we're going to be using it now to make a Red Snapper.
Yeah, I'm interested to try this gin one because if you think of the botanicals and stuff that are in gin and then tomato and spice. And
is this...
Yep, so you said, yeah, okay. Also known as a Bloody Margaret,
okay,
or a Ruddy Mary.
Ruddy Mary, okay.
Don't even know what that one means.
Ruddy sounds like an English term, and coming from with a gin background, that probably
makes sense. Yep,
that makes some sense there.
So you're simply just replacing the vodka with gin.
With
everything
gin
else is the same.
Everything else is the same.
And you know, we use the pourers and we measure our stuff. But if you're at home, how can someone measure? One
I
drink.
Like to do. It put me on the spot, right?
Well, you can make it stronger at home. Obviously.
You can, yeah, as strong as you want. I normally through a pour, I do a 5 to 7 count in my Bloody Marys.
Right.
So, you're
two,
looking at
three,
an ounce
four,
and a half.
Five.
Right.
Stop. Okay.
So, because you don't want it to be overpowering. Just like any drink, you don't want to taste too much alcohol. That's not really the point of a drink or a cocktail.
Says who?
Well, it can have a lot of alcohol, but you just want to be able to balance it out. Yeah, right. Says no one ever, right? Because
right.
They want it stronger.
That'll be the next viral meme right there. Right. I don't want my alcoholic drink to taste like alcohol. Yeah. Said no one ever. All right, so
he's being very accurate.
Right,
okay.
Making sure that we all get one stop.
All right.
The same.
Cheers. I have never had a Red Snapper.
Right.
I have to admit.
All right.
It's the first time.
This actually be. I've made them, but have never actually drank a full one myself.
So you can smell the gin right
yes.
away.
All right.
Mean.
So as you two are doing your taste, I'll talk over the top of you and see what's going on.
Well, that's not bad at all. All
right.
I think it actually makes it taste spicier.
I think you're right on that too.
That's weird.
It's
and I'm definitely not a gin fan. So for me right now, I actually really enjoy this.
You can't really taste it.
Right.
Taste to it, but it really tastes spicier a lot. Mm-hmm.
It is a nice one.
Those juniper berries might kick in on the
something mixing with the Bloody Mary mix. Yeah.
So I'm looking at see if anyone has given us anything through Facebook. If if you've got any, if you're sitting there and you're...
And also, like, what we haven't really talked about yet, I know you said you wanted to bring it up, is the garnishes, which we are not garnishing.
I'm a huge fan of garnishes.
And we're not garnishing anything right now, but there's so many different varieties and ways to garnish a Bloody Mary. It's kind of up to you. So if you guys have ideas about garnishes and what you like in your Bloody Mary, go ahead and throw that on the phone line, or what do you have? You have a comment spot we can...
I know, I think it's Eric Erickson's, put like a whole boiled shrimp. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
You get a whole shrimp like in your Bloody Mary. So you have a little surf with your Bloody Mary.
A whole jumbo shrimp?
A jumbo shrimp just sitting right on the glass with, you know, lemon and celery. And I mean, I think at the very least, celery is a must, right?
Well, that's olives.
Probably a standard. Olives, celery, lemon.
Lime.
So one of the... As I'm researching on Bloody Marys, and one of the big, I don't know, myths about Bloody Marys is that it's a hangover cure, and really all it is just giving you a little more alcohol to make you
feel
better.
Well, it's the hair of the dog. It's right, the trick.
That's a myth?
you had to read that one?
I don't know. So I was reminded of it, but I was initially... I initially learned that from MythBusters. I don't know if you're familiar with that show.
Yeah. So did they bust the myth?
No, they
bust it. It's not a hangover cure.
No, really.
You think that the tomato
You just end up getting drunk again. So
well, that's the whole point. That's the cure.
Well, I suppose
it like prolongs your hangover till later in the day.
I'm
just gonna kind of wean myself off of this hangover a little bit.
I'm gonna forget that I have.
It's like self rehab.
I mean, there's one thing. I mean, I know. Vegas, it has to be like the number one Bloody Mary place, because you either haven't slept and you need some energy, or you've slept, I don't know, 3 hours and you wake up and it's a Bloody Mary. Of course, if you order it anywhere down in the bar, it's probably going to be pretty nasty. They're not going to take the love. Unless you go to a nice special Bloody Mary.
I would imagine so.
Bloody Mary bar. But.
And you said it was originated as a breakfast drink. So how else?
Well, I don't know exactly... why anyone would necessarily want to do that, but I guess because it's you're looking at this. Maybe it was V8,
right? It's your shot of V8 in the morning.
Maybe that's where it all came around. People started drinking V8 and go, you know what would be really great in this? A shot of vodka. Yeah, before you go to work. Yeah, I'm a happy camper as I'm driving into work. So
well, that's also the time when it was like the three martini lunch, and the it was a simpler time.
And they smoked everywhere they went.
So anyone who's listening in, and anyone who knows me too, knows how I have struggled with Bloody Marys, and this is both of these two are certainly ones that I would, if I was in the mood for a Bloody Mary, these would be two of them that I'd have. And I've got to think that it's got to be the mix, because like. The gin is adding a little. It's accentuating the spices almost a little bit, but it still isn't over the top.
No, it's not over the top, and you're not. It's actually quite good.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
So we've done vodka, the gin, and we've got a couple other ones here. So, do we want to do the Bloody Maria or the Bloody Pirate?
I think because these two are sweet.
All right,
we may go together. Right.
Sounds good. So we'll mix up.
This is uncharted territory. For me.
All right, we'll try the Bloody Maria then, okay. Scott. If you mix that one up.
So
the Bloody Maria is just replacing the vodka with tequila. What we're mixing here is, and I don't even know what I have because it was a gift to me. So I Patron Gold, is that what it is?
It's Añejo.
Okay. You don't want to say gold because that means like really cheap.
Yeah. No, cheap stuff. Añejo. So it's the aged vodka.
So it's definitely a premium. We're making a premium Bloody Maria.
And so I had, and I was telling Joby earlier tonight that you know, we've had this in. Had this in my liquor cabinet for quite a while, and just the other night we were doing we're having some Mexican themed meal, and decided we were going to have margaritas, so that's what we used. And so that was probably a good two or three times what was in that before we had our margaritas just a couple nights ago. And they were tasty.
Yeah, well, it's a...
And all I was using was just the Trader Joe's margarita mix. All right, just one there and triple sec, and that was it.
We got to get you on that fresh lime juice and...
Right, so we were... So, as we were talking about the margaritas, Joey was telling me about how you just add a little bit of fresh lime juice and what else was
Grand Marnier would be nice, or Cointreau. Or
Cadillac
Margarita. Oh, yeah.
Just, you're looking at...
You're replacing the triple sec with that Grand Marnier. Okay. And just fresh lime juice. You can add a little orange juice, too, which is nice.
All right. And like those liqueurs, I don't know a whole lot about, because I have Cointreau in my...
You're halfway cabinet. There.
All right.
That's the most. That's one of the most expensive parts.
All right. So did you hear that at home? We'll do
Cadillac margaritas this weekend.
We'll do the margaritas with Cointreau.
And yeah, the sweet and sour and the mix and stuff, they're really terrible, actually. Not to mention, they're for the people that are trying to do like a low-cal drink. Sweet and sour is actually terrible. I think
for all you skinny girls out there,
I think one margarita of sweet and sour is just a mix is like 400 calories. That's, you haven't even added the alcohol or sugar or anything else yet.
And that's for all you real skinny girls. Just shoot the tequila.
There you go.
Don't mix it.
Oh yeah,
that's another way to do it.
However, I spent several college parties shooting tequila, and that's why I haven't had tequila again for 20 some years.
Because I think everyone has the same story. Right. But then once you have it again and try it,
finish everything.
Once you realize that you can sip tequila and really enjoy it or have a nice margarita, you kind of come back to it. But, right. You know, speaking of we were talking about the garnishes, I've really enjoyed some places now really getting big into the Bloody Mary thing. You know, build your own. My cousin has a place down in Belmont Shore, and his big thing on the weekend is he has this list. It's an incredible list of, you know, accoutrements, if you want to call it, that you can add to your Bloody Mary. I feel sorry for the bartenders when they get this list, because they're probably sitting there going like, okay, we're going to put this, and that, but... He even has a little baby slider, a burger slider that you can put on the Bloody Mary. So you can have your burger and your Bloody Mary at the same time, your little miniature burger. But really cool stuff. Cheese, asparagus, pickled green beans. I think there's really nothing, anything that you kind of think of that goes with like tomato and spice. But definitely you want to do a garnish.
Yeah. So, I like peppercinis or peppercini juice, like when I'm at home.
Peppercini, that's at like the little
Greek
yellow?
Golden peppers.
Okay.
Right, so this one, there's no hiding the tequila. You can smell it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it adds...
It adds a different character.
Right. And I don't know. It smooths the aroma out for me. I mean...
It doesn't smell spicy or anything.
Right. It doesn't smell spicy. So what do you think there's
taste the tequila more well, than that changed, of yes. anything?
There's the spice is like, oh, just on the finish you get a little bit, but it's almost extinguished the spice.
Oh wow. Yeah. Yeah, there is if you're looking to bring your
Do you need a taste?
Your spice down.
Kelly.
If you're looking to bring your spice
if you
down,
you want
to
cut the spice down. I'm not sure on this one. On the verdict. The jury is still out on this one.
So just coming back to everything that I've said before it's the mix. Like I can go for any one of these. And this one I don't know if I like it more than the others, but I like how it smooths everything out. I don't know if it's the oak flavors maybe that are kind of
right because of the añejo tequila.
Whatever it is, but it's certainly bringing things down initially.
I think it hides the spice.
Right, as soon as the tequila is gone, you know, my tongue is starting to heat up again already. So that's a nice variation, and that's the Bloody Maria.
Bloody Maria. Some of these names.
Tapatio.
Must have taken a long time to think of them.
Yeah. how many different
ways? We're going to replace vodka with tequila.
How many different ways?
What are we going to call it?
So Maria translated into every single language. What can this be? So as they're going through,
so
definitely.
The vodka, I think, showed the mix the most. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of played like it was kind of in the background. The gin accentuated the mix. It was just kind
of
like,
at least the spice part
of it.
The peppery.
And this one has like taken it a whole other dimension and kind of toned it down on the front palate. And then at the end, it's like, oh, here's a little spice back. It's crazy how the three of them are totally different.
Right, right. So we'll end up doing the proportions or whatever, posting it on the website so people can kind of reenact this as they're listening to the podcast, as they're running treadmill tomorrow at the Y,
right.
and going, oh, you know what? I need to try this. Yeah. So I'm going to go grab which one sounded the best, Jump. So they'll be able to recreate whatever we've got here and then kind of go through. So make sure you go to the website. Happy Hour with Jobin Curtis has its own page on hopheadsaid.com where you'll be able to find all those things. But I don't know. I mean, like you're saying, you're not quite sure about this. I'm kind of thinking that the tequila one is one of my favorites so far as we've gone through it. Now, you know, this is still 2-3 yeah. partial shots yes. into this, and so I may like this one better, and this one might be, you know, as
we
as
never
we're going
know
through,
exactly.
Right.
We don't know what's gonna go
but
on.
But this is the oak just cut everything, and or the tequila cut. And it has a really nice rounded edges all the way through.
It's the star of the Bloody Mary compared to the other ones where they're kind of in the background.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This one definitely stands out.
Yep. So we ended up we've gone through vodka, tequila, gin, and now we've got spiced rum or bourbon to go through. So which one? What do you think? What we should do next?
I'm actually scared to taste the Captain Morgan in a Bloody Mary right now.
It's spiced rum.
I don't know if we should do that last, literally.
Well, you know what? Because I've got it doesn't matter because for last call I've got a rye IPA that'll wash everything out anyway. So
okay.
So let's do one. I would rather see how this one tastes. This nice we've got some bullet bourbon and. And so then we'll do
bourbon,
the bourbon
captain.
And then if we have time, we'll hit the Captain Morgan. But this one, other than the fact that it was called,
I think we should do it just to do it.
Other than the fact that it was called the Bloody Pirate, I was like, this sounds really fun.
We brought it to do it. We're going to do it.
All right. So we'll do that. So Scott, well, I'm slowing down a little bit, but we do have,
I am too. I'm still on the tequila.
We've got two extra glasses here that we can mix and pour into it, and then we can kind of go back and forth. I guess we're
gonna. I was gonna just read some of these because they're funny. They're all just different versions of the name, obviously.
Did you go to the Wikipedia page?
I did.
Or is that, okay.
Yeah. So it's, you know, the Bloody Sunshine sounded interesting. It's pickle instead of celery, habanero instead of Tabasco. So that's definitely gonna kick up your thing. The Bloody Scotsman. That's pretty obvious. Some Scotch whiskey instead of the vodka.
My only problem with that is as much as I'm enjoying mixing some of these premiums here, I just didn't know that they were necessarily premiums. Like, I'm not going to mix my scotch.
I'm not going to mix my scotch into a Bloody Mary.
It better be the plastic
plastic bottle of scotch.
The American style scotch.
It's the traveler version of whatever scotch you can find.
The one that really sounded really interesting to me was the Bloody Murder. So we did the gin already. Then we do vinegar instead of Worcestershire, wasabi instead of horseradish, and then with a cherry tomato, which is interesting. I don't know, for some reason you gotta have the cherry tomato on it, but that one just sounds like it's gonna kick up. You know, that wasabi instead of horseradish, that might be fun. They even have one with aquavit, which probably tastes just about the same as
what was that?
Aquavit, the water of life. What's called? I think it's a Danish, basically their version of a vodka, just about. The Bloody Marine is actually, I think you brought some. If we get to that, that's the Guinness,
right?
Instead of anything else.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not so. I mean, other than it would be interesting to put a beer in. The reason I kind of suggested that one was just because I was afraid that I wasn't going to like anything here, and that I was going to have a sip. And then pass it off to everyone.
And then
get to the beer and see how the beer cut the spices. Because I figured that the beer was going to cut the spices at some point, somehow. But I haven't had that problem this evening, and it truly is. It's just the whatever the mix is.
Yeah, some of these are really strange.
When we actually include, we've had actually included stouts in our mixes. The,
So in your mix instead of the IPA, you put a stout in.
Nice stout.
Yeah, we've done both styles. It just depends on. Okay. I think it was actually one morning. It was like me and Joby were just in there by ourselves. Like I was opening the bar, and we kind of were like, "Well, let's try."
Yeah, we didn't have
other than a stout.
We didn't put any vodka, unfortunately, but we just did the mix. But there's some just to finish off the Bloody Cab, which has Cabernet Sauvignon in it. That's
right. So I don't even
sounds totally weird.
Well, yeah, wow. and
with a wine.
And yeah. I don't even want to, and I don't want to. I don't know. I don't want to put use the cab that way. The same way I don't want to use a scotch that way.
I think you do a Bloody Fairy. Or the red fairy and put some absinthe instead of your vodka. Instead of seeing the green fairy, you
So I've seen too many sitcoms with people just going right and hallucinating whatever it is, and I'm just I don't need to do it. And even like I'm trying to think of what it is. Three Sheets to the Wind. Yeah. You know, Zane Lanford. He did an absinthe one, and I just after watching that, I just decided I don't need to do that. I've tasted. Some homegrown
absinthe,
right? Like distilled stuff, you know. Right. I mean, not absinthe, but and that was what he was kind of equating it to. Like it was like glass and it burned, and you just and then you just blacked out. And I don't why do we need to do that? I mean, I don't understand it. Why would you want
sounds
to do
like
some?
A roofie? Right.
Well, you never know. No. So we've got the. Now I just lost. So this is the Bloody Derby here,
right? This is
which we did Bullet Bourbon, and
talk about smelling.
I'm still on the tequila right now.
Okay,
so
I've got my tequila off to the side. I've got my tequila to the side. Did you get one?
No, I made those two.
All right, so I'm gonna
just pass.
Okay, I'll pass it on over to you.
Your verdict.
So what do you think, Joby?
So I'm gonna say already I can smell horseradish that I didn't smell before.
Oh yeah,
really crazy.
It's gonna make it.
And definitely that bourbon, just that distinct bourbon smell, that sweetness.
Yeah, there is a
kind of fighting with the horseradish is kind of interesting.
Yeah,
but I didn't smell horseradish in any of the other drinks.
No, and there's a pronounced sort of I don't know, brown sugar kind of sweetness that's kind of in the aroma anyway underneath. So what do you think on your taste?
So this one goes the opposite of the tequila, hits you with the spice first, and then finishes with that bourbon kind of flavor. It's this is completely the opposite.
Yeah, taste that. That is crazy on how these are these different alcohols are interacting with the mix.
Yeah.
And definitely you get the bourbon up front, or I mean the spices up front, and then the bourbon washes over the back. I like that too.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. And then spice comes back again.
There it is after you kind of swallow a few times and the spices. What were the spices again? I can't. You had horseradish.
Horseradish, pepper. Do you consider celery salt a spice?
Sriracha, right?
Yeah, you're looking at
Tabasco.
Sriracha, Tabasco.
Because I'm trying to identify what is sticking to my tongue right now, which
I feel like it's the horseradish.
Yeah,
do you?
I can feel it.
Okay. Because I was going more towards the sriracha, but I don't do a lot of horseradish. I mean, like other than maybe just a little bit of wasabi with some sushi, but otherwise I don't get it. So it's interesting, and for people who are trying this version at home or will try it in the future, this is a great way of trying these things.
In a small batch.
Right, yeah. Working down the line.
Base,
and you could we're doing a fairly big taster portion on this.
Five ounces of
mix one cup, split it out five different ways, and you could end up going through all these. And I think that's a really great way of tasting this. And you can kind of see what we're talking about in the way that the alcohols are playing with your preferred
Bloody Mary. Or complement the spices within it. I actually didn't think this was going to happen.
The spice
coming in, yeah. I just coming into this, I was like, okay, I'm going to go mix them some drinks, you know, and we're going to have a good time.
We're getting all cerebral actual, on you.
Well, no, I know, right? We're like,
we're getting in the bartender's mind.
Well, no, that's right. Totally fine, because these are characteristics that I can now explain and be like, well, what do you like? What are you right. expecting? How can I cater this even more yeah. to you versus just pouring you a vodka
right.
and making you a Bloody Mary?
Yeah, it's weird that there's the same amount of spice. The mix is the same mix.
Right.
But all across the board, all different versions of the spice mm-hmm. are coming out.
Yeah, and if you look at this, if you're watching on the video, I mean, this was full, and we still only hit maybe a third of this, and that would be generous, I think, a third of the mix here that we've done between the three of us. And, you know, that mix goes a long way.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When you look at all the extra ingredients you're adding to your Bloody Mary and how much you're mm-hmm. – technically, you fill a glass up with ice.
Right.
If I'm adding more to this mix, I'm doing pepper and I'm doing celery salt first, and then I'm pouring in extra Worcestershire and Tabasco or anything else, and I'm allowing that to stick to the ice mm-hmm. as it runs down, and then I'm adding the vodka, and then I'm pouring in the mix. So when you look at everything else that is going on in the glass, you're literally still only getting 3 ounces, maybe,
of the mix.
4 ounces of mix right. at the most in a pint glass.
Right. So you want to put your spirits first.
Yeah, oh yeah. You
and then build on top of that.
Your ingredients, I suggest like your ingredients come first, even before your alcohol. So whatever else you're adding to it, mm-hmm. even your horseradish, anything else you're doing to it, should always be your
give
first base.
A nice base. Yeah,
right. And things that I've read here, and then in my Cocktails for Dummies book that I brought in earlier tonight. That
we saw that. Yeah,
I know. So I ended up. But they all say, you know, you put these. And the original was you dump all that stuff in the bottom of the glass, and then you put your alcohol on top of it. Then you dump your ice, and then you put your tomato juice mix, whatever it is, on top of it. Yeah. So it's one of these things that Happy Hour has done for me, and continues to do throughout every episode, where we end up bringing things that I haven't ever had, or I have kind of a skepticism of it, maybe, that I don't know if I'm going to like this, but then, you know, we end up finding somebody who can do a really good version of whatever it is, and then you go, oh yeah, this is what it's supposed to taste like, and this is what people, when they say, when they're at home and they're trying to recreate this is what it is that they're trying to recreate.
Yeah, originally Curtis wanted to do a beer show, but
he's getting into the world of spirits.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is all intertwined together, no matter what it is. Food, good drinks, everything is good. I mean, good people, good company, it all intertwines into your interactivity that creates the atmosphere, that creates your good time or experience wherever you're at. So, yeah.
And this could be a meal, actually, in itself, on a Bloody Mary.
I don't doubt it. Especially with a slider.
I am not hungry.
So, you're not going to agree?
Oh. I am not hungry.
No. There you go.
So we've got, we're coming up to our last break here, and we'll go into last call here.
We're past happy hour.
We're working through.
We're going to come back with some captains.
So we're going to try the captains, and then we'll have a beer afterwards. So stick around. We'll be back in a couple minutes, and we're going to rinse some glasses out and pour a couple beers and get ready for the last half hour. So hope you can stick with us. We are Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Yeah, we're on mybuzzradio.com here in beautiful Ventura.
And now back to the show.
Got one more. There it is.
It's in there somewhere. Yeah. The last bass snare hit, whatever it is.
Cannot talk until that.
So welcome back to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. And this has been a fantastic show for me. And whether anyone else has enjoyed listening to it, I don't know. But I found a Bloody Mary that I like. And that was my hope. You know, I wasn't positive, and I was kind of skeptical that I was going to be able to find it. But so I've ended up, I mean, probably, I don't know, maybe a full Bloody Mary I've had since we've been sitting here.
Right.
So it just kind of reminds me that I need to be able to figure out how I'm going to get home tonight. And so, of course, every week I talk about WereDriving.com, W-E-R-E, driving.com. And it's my driving service. That's a designated driving service. It's a senior citizen driving service. It's a I want to go to L.A. and go to a Lakers game driving service. It's
airport
driving service. It's all of that. And Israel is so great. Every week I send him a text message, say, okay, tonight's the show. And can you have a driver pick me up at the Barrel House 101? And I come there, and at 9:30, I get a text message from the drivers who are going to come pick me up. Okay. One of the drivers gets in my car, drives me and my car home. The other follows us home to make sure that nothing happens. We get home safe. They get back in the car, and they go off and pick up somebody else and get them home. And it's the best way to go out and enjoy yourself and not have to worry about DUIs, any traffic, anything. Just having fun, getting home, and getting home safe, and getting him back into bed.
And your car is there in the morning, which is
that's the worst thing.
That is
right. And if you got to wake up and try and remember where it was you were and where you parked, or if you've got some kind of parking ticket out here in Ventura, you don't park in the garage for 24 hours, whatever it is. But you know, if you don't want to have to worry about any of that. It's so great, and I've looked at taxi services, and they've all been way more expensive than what I'm paying to get home every night. So it's a great way to do it, something for you to
right?
Yeah, well, and it's concentric circles outside from Oxnard all the way out.
Yeah.
And so they've got all of their
– check them out online.
Right, WereDriving.com. You can find their rates, WereDriving.com. And Scott just poured us up
Pirate? Is that what it's called?
The Bloody Pirate. So I think we were all kind of, not me, but you two were the most nervous about this one.
Well, I actually used to drink Captain Morgan, so I can't be that nervous.
Captain Morgan Coke?
Yeah.
Morgan Coke.
Dr. Pepper. They talk about a lot of sugar and keeping you up, but Dr. Pepper and Captain Morgan, they really blend together.
Oh, well, yeah. I
haven't done that for a long time.
Generally, it was Morgan Coke for me. And now in my advanced years, I go Morgan Diet Cokes, but...
You're just trading artificial sweetener
for real sugar. Right.
But
so and now it's all about Sailor Jerry, which is a higher alcohol.
And
okay, so I've heard about Sailor Jerry.
It's more sugar.
I've heard about Sailor Jerry, but I don't know. It's a
trade-off now. You're going for higher alcohol content.
And it's like 99. Rum.
Yeah. Okay. The other one's like 99 proof, and this one's 80 proof. So if you want to kick it up a notch.
So you go to 100 proof, and then what do you have? You have Everclear, right?
I mean, that's over.
You're almost there. Okay. So you double the alcohol content. So if you have 50% alcohol,
okay.
You have 100. So Everclear, I think, was like 75% alcohol. Okay. Bacardi 151 is
Everclear.
Well, California Everclear.
Okay,
we have California Everclear.
I'm talking South Dakota Everclear.
I'm talking
like
Montana.
California said you're looking at like 190%. They just said 151 is the limit. We don't care what you make in other states, but you can't bring anything over 151 in here.
Okay, so
this is weird because we have no other drinking laws. But
let's just say hypothetically that somebody I know is going to South Dakota this summer on a family vacation. And is going to say, make some limoncello when he comes back, just hypothetically.
Right.
And bringing back Everclear from South Dakota into California, is that something that...
I think if you're bringing like one or two bottles, they probably wouldn't
question
it. If you're bringing like a U-Haul trailer full...
Well, I tell you what,
not you, your friend.
Right. The station over at Barstow or whatever it is out there, that's pretty lenient anyway. You just kind of keep on driving 70 miles an hour through the checkpoint. But the Everclear in California is
151. It's regulated to 151. Yeah. You cannot have anything over that. But I know there's 180 proof Everclear, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's almost like pure grain alcohol, is what it's.
They use it to make limoncello. That's right.
Right. So we've got Captain Morgan Bloody Mary or the Bloody Pirate. There we go.
I can definitely smell the spice rum coming.
So have you had a taste of it yet?
No, I haven't tasted it.
Okay, so I'll talk over you two while you're tasting it, and as they're going, Captain Morgan was a standard mixer.
That is a weird vanilla something I did not expect with my tomato.
It sweetens it to the fullest. That's weird.
Okay, so
that's playing tricks on
me. So that is, yeah, that is.
I would have to say the worst schizophrenic kind of. That's a schizophrenic
kind of drink. I mean, yeah, it's there, and then it changes, boom, boom, boom. Yeah. And you're not, and when it does change,
it's back to the Bloody Mary. But beginning is like,
and you're not ready for it. There's no kind of smoothing into it. It's just boom, boom, boom.
It's like smothering a root beer float with tomato juice.
Yeah,
that is perfect right there. Perfect. So if you like root beer
it's
floats,
not something you want to do though.
so if you like to mix your root beer floats with tomato juice, right, this is the drink for you.
If you have like a tomato soup with a root beer float on the side, that's exactly what it would
that
be
would
like.
Be like your
not my ideal lunch or dinner. But
so
no.
I don't even know where would I have picked this up?
Wikipedia. The Captain Morgan?
It must have been for some sort of...
Wait, it looks like a traveling bottle. It's something that you would put...
It's in a safe environment.
Yeah, you would...
Well, but what I'm thinking is like an iced drink or something that needed, you know, piña colada, whatever it is.
Right.
Why you picked it up.
You're saying, why do you have Captain Morgan?
Yeah, yeah.
Why would I have this in my...
I don't know.
Why would I have this here? I don't know, but... So that's what's going on there.
That's the bottle where, you know, you want to take it with you, but you don't want it to break.
Did you taste? You?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think the
verdict is pretty much zero here, right? Nobody likes this one.
Don't do the Captain Morgan.
Don't do the Bloody Pirate.
Don't be a Bloody Pirate.
Now, but
yes.
If you've got, what is it, the Sailor Jerry?
That's probably just as sweet. Though.
I'm pretty sure that's going to be just as bad.
Okay. I'm pretty sure you should keep anything sweet away from your Bloody Mary.
Yes.
I think that's safe to say. I don't know.
I would agree with you on that one. Yeah, because there's the spice, the vegetal kind of things. It doesn't lead to a vanilla sweetness.
No, like that. That was very unexpected.
Yeah. I am really disappointed that Wikipedia let this recipe
slide through.
Stand.
Oh, it recommended
the
high
standards.
Yeah. I should have known because it didn't have a little
no link to it.
Right. Well, there was
some guy just wrote it in.
There wasn't a link, and there wasn't the footnote.
Right.
Kind of
that's
thing
like,
to,
oh, you can find that this,
this
comes
is not
from
a documented
here. Like,
so
we still have with the. This is your homebrew, Curtis, right?
Right. So we've got a nice rye IPA coming in at 8.5%, and this is going to
cleanse my palate
here you
from
go.
The
yeah. This will this will be
Captain Morgan.
This will help. This will help clean out whatever Captain Morgan we had for sure. So,
in fairness to Captain Morgan, it's
so brewed in Ventura.
Yeah,
you said
Camarillo.
In Camarillo.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my base Imperial IPA, and then I added 20% rye into the mix on that. And so, no matter what we had here this evening,
this should kill it all.
It's gonna cleanse
it's
the
that
palate.
Bitter.
It's actually coating the palate nicely. So, and what's the alcohol on this, Chris?
It's 8.5%. So, it's not a light one.
It's not a session.
I don't brew session beers, so I don't. If I'm gonna do it, if I'm gonna spend
the time to make the
right,
beer, yeah.
the six I hours to make that beer, right. I'm gonna make a beer. And so generally,
it's a good balance to it.
So a lot of times I end up doing.
It's a little darker than what I would imagine. Is it?
Well, you know,
or are
I was
just
I was
in
shooting,
the dark. We're just in the dark.
Well, I was shooting for yeah. It. I think it is a little darker. I was shooting for a racer, not racer,
hop rod rye.
Oh, okay,
kind of thing.
I can see that.
Which is darker.
So, so yes. it's a little darker than you know. It may be a little lighter than this, but that's kind of what I was shooting for.
That's a beautiful beer too.
And
so
right, and cream. So I've only brewed this one a couple times, but it's been fun to kind of. At some point, this was my house double IPA. I mean, you could come in and get this. I called it H3, and. Because it was hopped at when the wort went in, so it was first wort hop, then all of the hop additions, and then it was dry hop. So three different hop additions, and then at some point it just dawned on me, you know what I should do? I should add some rye to this. I really love hop rod rye or what is it? The Lenny Bruce IPA.
Oh yeah, the Hebrew bittersweet
right.
Lenny.
Right. So, and then it's for some reason.
Yeah, Ruthless Rye is too weak for your standards of.
For brewing.
Oh, no, O'Reilly
but
like, or
but
those.
But that's like a 6.5%.
Yeah, it's like a session IPA.
Right. So I could do. I same with definitely. I like. Yeah. I don't go generally under 6% on my beers, but so I just because my system helps me produce more sugars out of that mash, but. So this is definitely kind of cleansing the palate of the spiced rum, but those spices in there too from the.
Well, you can still feel them.
Yeah,
I feel
they're
them
still on my tongue. Yeah, definitely. But it does. This does put out that fire. And
so, what I'd like to do.
So, is that a good pairing then with a rye beer with a spicy food
with a bloody? Oh yeah.
Well, not just.
Oh yeah, definitely. Spicy. If you want to. Like amp up the spice just a little bit, or anything that's even highly carbonated. But I really like the hops; they seem to accentuate the spices. And so, if you're eating something, you go, you know what? So there's a difference between like my wife and I. And so my wife likes a lot spicier food than I do. I'm growing into that, but I grew up in South Dakota where. You know, if it was bland, it was too spicy. So people made their dishes
and
just
it
a little.
Came out to Southern California, little,
right. And so I'm like, oh wow, you know, this is.
Like there's flavor in the world.
Flavor? What happened? So I'm starting to build up to that. But like, if we were eating the same meal, and the person that you're sitting with wants a little extra spice in that, saying, yeah, it's okay, but it could use a little extra spice. Drunk, you know, pour an IPA and then
IPA, yeah.
Right, and then have them drink the IPA after every bite.
So like hot wings and IPA.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Man.
You're looking
right,
at the
that'll jack it up. But like even at Barrel House, the shrimp tacos that I get every once in a while when I'm coming in. The
chipotle
aioli.
It gets hotter and hotter.
Right.
Well, and then you have chipotle coleslaw on top of it. So
right,
you're looking at a.
Yeah, and so that sauce goes up and down because it's made every other day, whatever it is, and so it's some days it's a little spicier, some days it's not quite as spicy. So you get that, take that first bite of that,
and get that IPA.
Right? Get that thing and go. Okay, I need an IPA
or
double.
I want a
Bock for that.
That makes sense.
Absolutely, right?
That makes total sense.
So like tonight, you know, I had the shrimp tacos, and I decided I need a little more spice, so I ended up getting the Abigail. The glory or
death yes
IPAs, which brought that up a little bit. But if that had been a spicier one, then I would have gone maybe with the Brother Thelonious Double or something, which would have brought
sweet,
that which
right.
would have brought that down a little bit too.
Right.
So just looking at whether it's hoppy or malty
can balance
range,
out your food.
Yeah. I mean, I think the old trend, the old school was like, oh, you drink an IPA, it puts out the heat of the food, and that was kind of like,
well, like
because
you can't taste it. They figure it kills
but
your
then,
taste buds.
Then they
but...
figured out like, no, that's not right. It's actually mm-hmm. accentuating, like you said, it's mm-hmm. bringing out the heat.
Right,
but
well, it's like vinegar. Then vinegar brings out the spice and things.
I suppose so.
Well, that's why it's in all the
exactly.
Hot sauces.
And all hot
right.
sauces
right.
are.
Yeah,
it's pickled mm-hmm. like in.
So
vinegar
you,
is the.
Right, do you
so,
dare mix this with Bloody Mary mix?
No, so that's what I was just saying is, you know what? I would really like to do do the mix with this
with
beer.
Your house with
right.
your I with
and,
your
and
double.
So we've got we still have like a half gallon here or a quarter right. what quart, and so let's
okay. So
let's,
what is
let's mix
so
one.
How are we gonna?
You know, I'm gonna leave that up to you
okay.
and what you whatever you feel like it. I think the rye in this. And the hops will be a positive, I think, to this the Bloody Mary mix.
Right.
So,
could we pour it into our beer?
Well,
so I think.
Well, you want to know? You want to do it?
So I go ahead and mix it into here, and then we'll just pour whatever you think we need to do into the.
Okay, I'm gonna
pour the beer into that, and then we'll mix it up through the glasses.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think this is the.
That's Captain Morgan.
I think this is Captain Morgan.
Yeah, this is my Captain Morgan. Smell the vanilla.
You can still.
Yeah, this is the captain.
You guys might want to.
I'm gonna put this one over here. Okay, but I think we've got enough glasses.
This.
It's funny that Cap Morgan
is
is treating us the way that it is, because it's all of a sudden it's just like, well, I don't.
What's a spice? It's funny. It's spiced rum.
Oh, right, it is spiced rum. That's true. But the spices are like.
So I'm gonna do basically 5 ounces.
Okay.
Of your homebrew.
Okay. And there it goes. Mixing it up here.
And we're gonna put. And then we're just gonna put the Bloody Mary. We're gonna do the Bloody Mary mix we use.
Sounds great.
So if you were making it at home, you're substituting the beer for the vodka or the
base. Well, yeah, well,
you gotta put a little more.
Well, and definitely our base already has IPA in it too. So we're just now, this is gonna up the hops. It's gonna up the spices in a different way than now.
I think if I see somebody walking by, I'm gonna offer them my Captain Morgan Bloody Mary. Nobody's walked by yet. No, lucky recipient.
Hopefully they're in need of the.
Anyone going down to Plaza Park here and sleeping for the night?
And I'm also going to do 5 ounces of
the. And we've got five ounces. So it's a 1-to-1 mix here of
IPA to Bloody Mary mix. I feel that's the proper way to do this now.
I think so. And so if you're just tuning in, then in the next couple of days, go to hopheadset.com and the Happy Hour page. You'll see that right on the front. You'll see a Happy Hour logo. Go to that, click on it, you'll see some pictures from our setup tonight, and you will also you'll also find the recipes for our Bloody Mary mix that we've been using as the base for all of our drinks tonight. And really, I think the verdict on any of these, from the vodka, which is the regular,
tequila, bourbon, gin,
are really nice if you like those alcohols, like you would appreciate that.
But for each of them have accented the Bloody Mary in a different manner,
So the tequila was hot up front. It quenched the heat, and then it smoothed out, and then the heat came back.
The bourbon did spice, and then bourbon.
And then bourbon.
The vodka, of course, was neutral all the way through. Mm-hmm. The gin kicked up the heat, I thought, a lot.
It was all the way through.
Mm-hmm. And the Captain Morgan, I don't know what it did.
Captain Morgan was fruity.
I think the biggest thing was with it is that it just the flavors never came together on that. There was never a. A smoothing into one and out of the other. It was
almost like drinking two different drinks.
Right, it was.
It's like a sip of one and a sip of the other one.
So Scott's mixing this up. He's going to pour this. And I'm looking at our time. We've just got a few minutes left here before we end out fading to our outro songs. Anyone who's listening on iTunes, make sure that you rate us. We got our first rating. Today, awesome. Or yesterday, a 5-star rating.
Five-star. Imagine. Wait till they hear this show.
I know. Nobody's going to want to.
No.
It's like a 2. That's a bad one. So on iTunes, you can get us there.
What's
iTunes.
What's wrong with this show?
No, I'm saying that's a good thing. We're going to get another 5-star.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So because we started a little late, we just got the go ahead to go another 8 minutes. So we're in good shape. But
now we've gone from hurry up to slow down.
Right. So that doesn't negate anything we said. So go to iTunes, rate us, get us up there. I took a screenshot the other day because we were on the new and noteworthy spot. On iTunes, but for some reason it still doesn't have our logo. It doesn't have our logo. So I'm just
we're just so happy to even get on.
That's
finally. Right.
That is cool.
Part 2 will be the logo.
Right. So we'll end up getting that logo straightened out at some point. So rate us, leave a comment. That'd be great. If you want to see behind the scenes things, go to the webpage, Hophead Said,
and that thing never turns off.
And it doesn't.
It goes through commercial and everything.
Right. Yeah. So you'll get to see the behind the scenes antics, and then any of the links. So like for this this recipe that'll be there. If Scott has something he wants us to put up on that page, since he was our guest tonight, we'll put up the Scott. We'll put up the Scott Bloody Mary page.
There you go. And we'll
link to it and everything else. So I mean, it's worth visiting that page, definitely.
Yeah. I have to give us a shameless plug too. So if you want to see Scott, you can find him at Barrel House.
Right. Oh yeah.
It can serve you some Bloody Mary Saturday and Sunday mornings. The best time for Bloody Marys.
Right. And this is definitely not a shameless plug. Definitely. Because this is the first Bloody Mary that I have been able to enjoy and then look forward to the next version of. I mean, when we started off and I said, you know, I led off with, I don't want to throw up after this. Really, that was any of the Bloody Marys that I've had have either been way too spicy or way too tomato, and there hasn't been any kind of balance in between them.
That's officially the new rating now. If I drink something and I don't want to throw up after it, it's like the Curtis rating.
So. Right. That's,
you know,
that's
what? I don't want to throw up after that. That's
a good thing. No, that's now I take it. At first, I was kind of offended.
No.
But now I'm okay with it.
So when you drink something, you say, you know what? I don't want to throw up after that. That's pretty good.
So here's, instead of a 5-star rating, I don't want to throw up, and I want to have more. Right. So at the end of the show, it's one of those things where I want to have more and I want to try some of these other versions, but I don't want to try it without the same base so that I can see the differences. And I think that's important for everyone else too. And I mean, you can agree with other places,
even like store-bought. If you go buy a store-bought mix,
do yourself like a store-bought comparison. You'll see.
And then make your own at home, compare it, see how much you like it. I mean, and then you can cater it to yourself too. You can do the same thing with a store-bought, but you're then working with their base. So it's always
they're
going
to put a bunch of stuff in there to preserve it and whatever they have to do to keep it on the shelf stable and all this stuff. Stuff that it really is not supposed to sit around for a long time. And it is. So you got to remember that.
Right. So when you open the bottle and it goes, and then it expands out, this, you know that they've sucked all the oxygen out of it. And so that was meant for long shelf life. So I've just tasted this.
I'm still smelling it.
The spices are more pronounced, and it's probably because there isn't the alcohol mix in it, but it's
right. It's missing that alcohol kick of the bigger spirits.
Right, and I don't know if I would necessarily order this one here, but it isn't. It's
Sorry.
Not a.
It's all right, Scott. You're allergic to rice.
Sneeze.
But it's not. Camp Morgan. I mean,
no, it's not
a spice rum. It still rolls through.
If you're looking for a bloody beer, then
it actually brings out a little bitterness.
It doesn't.
That touch, and then spice right after that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't hit you up front.
Right.
Yeah. There's nothing up front, which is very unusual. It's just kind of like.
Everything is
kind of subtle into the whole.
So it's good. I like it. Sorry about that. That was my phone.
No.
There it goes.
Well, there are listeners
saying that they want to try all the stuff.
You're an important man tonight.
Yeah.
Always.
Either that or it just took an hour for it to actually charge.
Right? It's all emails. It's
when you first get the phones, they have a full battery life. And then after a little while, you know.
Right.
Luckily, we still have our phones plugged in over there.
Right.
But this has been a great show, educational and fun at the same time.
So looking at what we have coming up, let me pull my page out here. So our calendar says Refined Distillery, which is not happening because that would have been tonight.
That would have been today, yep.
But we're looking at him scheduled in again in May. If we get some remote equipment, who knows, we might
maybe
end up
going up there,
visit the distillery.
Maybe we could have him send us some stuff.
Right.
And then have him call in.
And do a call-in. We can do that too. That'll save him having to stay in Ventura.
He didn't mind. He didn't seem to mind too much.
No, he didn't do it. Oh, he didn't mind too much. And then next week, Chaz from Brewmaster from Surf Brewing.
Surf Brewing, yeah.
And one of my favorite rye ales,
the
rye pale ales,
line.
The County Line rye, and
You remember the first version of that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sweet and like 7%.
Didn't even know what it was. Who knows what it was?
It was a big beer. And
It's funny how many of us were at that actual opening and kind of didn't really know each other. Drinking this. So Chaz didn't really know. Nobody really knew what the alcohol content was. So they were serving this County Line. They said it's a rye pale ale, and we're drinking it. I think I had two, and I was like, "Dude, this is a strong beer." And
it turns into an IPA, right?
Yeah, this is a strong beer. And it's like, so we start talking to Chaz, and then they're like, "We don't really know how strong it is. We know it's strong, but we don't. Right, we're just starting to bring on this
equipment. It's not going into bottles. It's right here in the tap room, so we don't have to worry about it.
It was strong. It was delicious, though. But so there's a there's sort of a dividing line now between people who like the original County Line and then the second toned down version. And then they remade the first one, which is really cool.
And which was like their 100th batch or something like that.
Right.
And so there's a couple of them floating around. I am a fan of the one that you're going to find in the bottles.
The second one, the new hop, yeah.
And hoppier. I was so glad that they had brought that they brought the alcohol down. So anyway, Chaz is going to be here. And Surf Brewery has a great story, too, behind it, just how all these people got together and decided, you know what, let's open a brewery in Ventura, and how can we do this? And so that's a really great story. And then on April 11th, so that's April 4th, April 11th, we have the Libertine Pub and Brewery. That's in Morro Bay. Way
north,
way
up
there,
north,
yeah.
Up north. So, that's not
so,
that far.
So
but,
I ended
yeah.
up. So
he's like, way.
I don't know what your ways is, but that's still. You're
he's from South Dakota. Remember?
You're talking
yeah,
you're talking 5 hours north, right? 4 hours somewhere
yeah,
up
four
there.
Hours.
So yeah, so but anyway, I met the owner, and we during my Cicerone exam. And we start talking, and we're just kind of hanging out. He's got his brewery up there. They're brewing. They've got a pub and everything else, so they'll be coming in. And then we've got, you know, next week we'll end up telling you what's in store for April, because we've got Montalvo
tequila. I can't wait for the tequila show.
At the end of April to kind of get us into
Cinco de Mayo.
Feeling Cinco-ish. and so that'll be a fun one.
That's right. That's the next major drinking holiday. That's it. No, nothing in April.
What? And I am so looking forward to it, because he has three different kinds of tequila.
Every weekend is a drinking holiday.
Yeah,
he has those three
different kinds of tequila. Maybe even four now.
Yeah, they have a extra añejo.
So it's going to be lined up, tasting what aged tequilas taste like. And I'm stoked for that one. So that'll be a lot of fun too. Anyway,
I want to thank Scott for taking time.
Right. So Scott is bartender, Barrel House 101 in Ventura. And if you want one of these tasty Bloody Marys, go to
come talk to me. Actually, you don't have to just get it from me. Anybody at the Barrel House, or just come downtown Ventura. We love the population. We enjoy the traffic. Just come down to Ventura, visit us, stop in. Everything is good.
He's modest, but on top
you've
of it,
sold
but
Curtis.
On top of what? Yeah, you've sold me. But on top of it, they have the mixer that you have had a hand in creating.
Yeah, no,
and you were actually going to test Joby to see what was in that.
But he knows.
Okay,
I know. Right. He's my boss. He knows.
So no matter what you do, you're going to end up getting you're going to get the fantastic mix that they've created, and you're not going to be disappointed.
No.
All
right. Also, along with Bloody Marys, we have 101 beautiful beers that you can.
What?
101 beautiful beers, all on tap.
On tap, no bottles.
It's my Barry White voice. 101 taps.
Take us away, Barry.
That's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I go in all the time for. So thanks for joining us this week, and
thanks for
I hope you
me.
Have enjoyed all of our Bloody Marys.
Our edutainment.
Edutainment.
That's a good one. Hey.
One. So. So
he's
we'll,
been thinking
we'll,
about something over
we'll
there.
Yeah,
played,
I was.
We'll get played out here.
Happy hour with Joby and Curtis on mybuzzradio.com.
And we'll see you next week.
Hey, thanks for listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. If you like this podcast, make sure you like us on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook under Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. Give us a like and share it with all your friends. We'd appreciate it. Cheers!